God's desire is for you to live a victorious Christian life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell gives us practical instructions on how to unleash the power of God in our lives.
Do you understand that God planted a church right here because He loves souls like yours and like mine? Do you understand there are missionaries preaching the gospel this morning all around the world because He's still seeking souls and loving souls and has a plan for souls? And do you understand that if God would look up and see Zacchaeus, then God could save anyone else behind bars today?
Jesus faced almost every situation imaginable, and yet He refused to give in to temptation. In our series, Kingdom Living, we will learn what it means to unleash the power of God in our lives so that we can live the victorious Christian life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The world is obsessed with power. But the Bible reveals that the greatest power of all is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Jesus Eats with Sinners.
I recognize that the way of the transgressor is hard, but it's not my responsibility to look at someone in that moment and to look at them with that spirit. It is my responsibility to bring the love of God to them. And Jesus teaches us that with Zacchaeus. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, could have looked at Zacchaeus and said, "Get out of that tree. You're not even worthy of that tree." But that's not what He said. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down. For today, I'm going to your house." And when He did that, they murmured at His compassion on them. Notice, if you would, this morning, not only a curious seeker, not only a compassionate Savior, but notice thirdly, a converted soul. Notice in verse 8, the Bible says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord." I want you just to pause there with me and say those two words, please. Ready to begin. Behold, He said unto him, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Notice, first of all, that there is a repentant heart revealed. And it is revealed in the simple phrase, "Behold," and in the powerful word, "Lord." Behold, Lord. The longer that I am saved, the more significance I see in the word Lord. Because there are many today who want a Savior. They want forgiveness. They do not want to go to hell. And by the way, that is a wonderful truth, that we can be saved from hell to an everlasting heaven. How many of you are thankful for that this morning? But there are many who want the Savior who will keep them from hell and who will give them a home in heaven. But they do not want the Lord who will direct their life. And Zacchaeus needed a Savior, but he also recognized Jesus as the Lord. And I want you to recognize that the repentant heart reveals to us that when this man Zacchaeus said, "Behold, Lord," something had changed in his heart. Whether it was while he was still in the tree, whether it was on the way to his house, whether it was whatever the case may be, at that moment when Zacchaeus indicated that he was Lord, something is evidencing now as a repentant heart for all of us who read this word some 2,000 years later. You see, you must remember that Zacchaeus was working for Rome. And therefore, the only one that was to be declared Lord was Caesar. And that's exactly what they said in Roman culture. They referred to Caesar as Lord. They worshiped Caesar as Lord. He was their master. He was the one to whom they gave their worship. But something has happened in Zacchaeus' life. No longer is the world his Lord. No longer is Caesar his Lord. Something has changed in his life. And how could you meet Jesus and not have something change in your life? And how could we profess to have Jesus as our Savior and our Lord and live for this world and abide for this world and do all that we do for this this world system. You see, Jesus Christ is Lord, whether you reckon that or not. And here we see that Zacchaeus said, "Behold, Lord." He had put his faith in the Lord, and he publicly referred to him as Lord. And I ask you again this morning, is Jesus your Savior? And if the answer is yes, I praise God for that. And I ask you this, is He your Lord this morning? Do you recognize His Lordship in your life? You see, whenever we lead someone to Christ at Lancaster Baptist Church, and whenever any of us were saved, you most likely said something like this, "Dear Lord Jesus." And in that moment, as you spoke to Him, you did not refer to Him just in a human sense of relation, but you acknowledge Him as Lord. And you did that when you got saved, but did you do that this week? And will you do that next week? And do you do that when you go to work and when you talk with your family? And do you acknowledge His Lordship in every area of your life, you see? And He said, "Behold, Lord." Something had changed in his life. He wasn't the boss of his own life anymore. He's taking his hands off the steering wheel of his own life. He does not want to direct his life anymore. He says, "Now you are my Lord." Matthew 10:32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." And when Zacchaeus said, "Behold, Lord," and when he said it publicly, I believe there was a transformation. I believe it was a wonderful thing that he acknowledged Jesus as his Lord. Romans 14:9, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." And you hear me right now, your Lord is not your professor in some secular God-denying college. You make sure that your Lord is Jesus Christ alone. You make sure that your Lord is not some corporation that teaches you cultural sensitivity training and tells you the doctrines of this world. You make sure that your Lord is the author of this book, the Lord Jesus Christ. You make sure that your Lord is not some company and not some political party and not some possession and not some motorcycle and not some sailboat. You make sure that your Lord is Jesus Christ. And he said, "Behold, Lord." In other words, "Take my life, Lord. I belong to you." That's what it means to have a Savior and Lord of your life. Too many Christians today fail to acknowledge Him as Lord. Too many Christians today are the Lord of their own lives. And so we see Zacchaeus professes Christ as Lord. And Zacchaeus, furthermore, with this repentant heart, evidences his repentance by a newly changed attitude towards his financial situation. Notice what happens. The Bible says in verse 8, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I," what does the next word say, please? "The half of my goods I give." You see, a cold heart and a stingy hand always go together. But this man's heart has been changed. This man's heart was changed because the Son of God, who didn't have to look at him in that tree, the Son of God, who could have literally ignored him in that tree, the Son of God looked upon him, and not only looked upon him, he received him. And not only did he receive him, but he called him and he said, "Today, Zacchaeus, I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to be with you today." And oh, what a joy and oh, what a privilege that our Lord Jesus Christ saw him in that way. Notice what happens in verse 8. The Bible says, "My goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Now, when Jesus saves, it's more than just forgiveness. It is a changed life. In fact, here's what's going on in his heart. We see a man who has repentance, and now he wants to make restitution. And that's going to bring joy into his life. Restitution is justice. Restitution is making something right after repentance. It's the fruit of repentance. When a man has true repentance, he wants to make something right. When a man is truly repentant that he has stolen something, he wants to pay it back. When a man has truly repented that he has been dishonest with his company, he wants to make it right. When a man is truly repentant, listen, he may be disciplined. He may lose his job. He may shame himself. But when a man is truly repentant, he wants to make it right. And I'm telling you, my friend, we've got too many people that want to live in sin, and they want to rob from God, and they want to cheat on their spouse, and they want to come and genuflex like they did when they were Roman Catholic at the altar and say, "Dear God, I just want to say I'm sorry, so sorry," and go on their merry way. And I'm going to tell you something. When you are truly repentant, there's more to it than just to saying I'm sorry. There's this matter of making it right before God and making it right before those that you have hurt, and before those that you have stolen from, and before those that you have cheated on. And I'm just saying, when you're repentant, your life is going to change. You see, Zacchaeus wasn't just playing a little religious game, and I've seen many play the game. Zacchaeus wasn't just going to do what he had to do to keep the little lady happy. Are you with me this morning? Zacchaeus wasn't doing just enough to keep the preacher off his back. Zacchaeus wasn't playing religion. Zacchaeus said, "I've got to make this right. And God, the things that I have, Lord Jesus, I want to give them. And if I have to give them fourfold, I want to make sure that I make it right, because I want joy through restoration and through restitution." Zacchaeus was a changed man. He changed his dishonest practices for honest practices. And the sign of conversion in his life was that a greedy man was now willing to help others. That was the sign of conversion in his life. A man that only thought about getting was now thinking about giving. Generosity now replaced greed. "The half of my goods," he said, "I will give to the poor." Zacchaeus just received grace from the generosity of Christ, the most generous person that ever lived. Now Zacchaeus follows Christ's example as a new person, and he becomes generous. And I simply say to you this morning, when you are right with God, and when the cross is in its proper perspective, and when Jesus is the Lord of your life, tithing or giving offerings is no big deal. Because when you really realize who He is and what He did, when He looked at you in your sycamore tree, and when He saw you in your little neighborhood where you live in Philadelphia or Texas or New Jersey or wherever it is that you came from, and when God looked down and saved your soul while you were there in Michigan or on some Air Force base or in some revival meeting, and when you go back and renew and restore and remember that God saved you from a Christless hell, and that today your life could be who knows where, and you really think about what God did for you, instead of being greedy, you become generous. You become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way that he lived his life. You see, in his moment of repentance, generosity replaced greed, and honesty replaced extortion. The Bible says here in this same verse, "If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him." He said, "Lord," he said, "now that you are the Lord of my life, everything that I have belongs to you. Whatever you want me to do to make things right, however I can bring glory to you, and God, however I can tell them, the Lord did this in my life, I want to give this to you because Jesus changed my life. I want to make things right because Jesus changed my life." Hey, what would happen? What would happen in Lancaster if thousands of people that were truly saved, if the many members of this church would just say to someone, "Hey, here's something I want to do for you because of what the Lord has done in my life. Hey, here's something I want to share with you because of what the Lord has done in my life. And I'd like to be a blessing to you because God has been a blessing to you." How many more people would come to Christ? How many more people would think highly of Jesus Christ if we would have the repentant, active heart of Zacchaeus this morning? He said, "Lord, I want to do whatever I have to do to make this right." You see, Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Many times we want to come to church, get our few minutes with the Lord, and go on doing what we want to do. But I say to you again, the longer I'm saved, the more that word Lord has greater significance to me. Because the more I realize that living with Jesus as your Lord is a constant, abiding relationship. Here is a repentant heart revealed. Notice secondly, a receiving heart redeemed. Now let's look a little further. Verse 9, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now this receiving heart, it is here in these verses that we see salvation was, yes, a gift from Christ, and yes, it was based on the faith that was evidenced in Zacchaeus' life. Notice, this day is salvation come to thine house. Jesus and those who were present saw a transformed life. They saw salvation in Zacchaeus' life. And Jesus is simply declaring what has taken place, that there was salvation in this man's life. Adrian Rogers once said, when a man has the Bible kind of faith, it is not simply propositional truth, it is relational truth. What I mean by that is that being a Christian is not just intellectually believing things about the Lord, it is receiving the Lord experientially. And that is exactly what had happened in Zacchaeus' life. And that's why Jesus said, this day is salvation come to thine house. Yes, it was because Jesus was there, but it was also because Jesus was in the heart of Zacchaeus. You see, my friend, this morning, you are not saved by the plan of salvation. You are saved by the man of salvation, and his name is Jesus Christ. And when you believe on the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation will come into your heart. And Zacchaeus was not trusting in some little prayer that he had made. He was not trusting in some little church that he had joined. Zacchaeus had met Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Zacchaeus had believed on him in his heart. And now Jesus said, salvation has come into your life. And I'm so thankful today that when any man, woman, boy, or girl will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, receive him personally, experientially into their heart, that they too can be saved. You see, this salvation was based on that faith that Zacchaeus had expressed and on that love that God had given. But notice also, it was based on the payment that Christ had made. Now notice this in verse 9. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to thy house, to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now this promise of salvation had been given to Abraham. It was a promise that was for the children of Abraham. Galatians 3 and 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so, not only had God promised to bless the seed of Abraham as the stars of heaven, but God had promised to bless even the Gentiles through Abraham. And he had promised to bring salvation to them. How? Notice what it says. Through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus was declaring that it was because of his presence and it was because of God's plan that salvation was now being made to even Zacchaeus because of his love for Zacchaeus. And it was all based upon the payment that Jesus would make at the cross of Calvary, Romans 5 and verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so Jesus Christ, when he died upon the cross of Calvary, covered completely the sins of the world. And it was because of that covenant that was made, because of that promise that Messiah would come, that all would be saved and that all can be saved to this very moment. For when a man puts his faith in Jesus Christ, he is putting his faith in the one who declared himself to be the Son of God, who shed his blood on the old rugged cross, who rose up again on the third day for our justification. And when a man receives that truth, when a man receives Christ into his heart personally, he will be redeemed even as Zacchaeus was redeemed, because Jesus paid it all. Jesus covers all the sin debt that we would ever owe. Back in August of 1987, not long after we'd begun our ministry here, there was a terrible airline accident, Northwest Airlines Flight 225, taking off from Detroit. I remember watching the newscast of that airline accident and all of the debris that was scattered, and the investigators reported that there was one survivor, one four-year-old survivor, a little girl from Arizona. Her name was Cecilia. In fact, The investigators at first thought that she must have been on the ground when the plane hit because they could find no survivors from the plane. But they continued doing their investigation and they discovered that Cecilia had survived because even as the plane was falling, her mother, Paula, unbuckled her own seatbelt, got down on her knees in front of her daughter, and completely wrapped her body around her daughter's body. So that when the plane hit at impact, there would be nothing separating her daughter from her love and from all of the protection that she could give. And while many were enveloped in flames and while many's lives were taken, one little girl's life was spared because of the sacrifice of her mother. And I want you to understand this morning, such is the love of Jesus Christ for you. He left heaven, he lowered himself to this earth. He covered us with the sacrifice of his own body dying on the tree for our sin. He completely paid it all. We are covered completely by the Lord Jesus Christ so that when we look to the Lord Jesus in faith and believe on him, we may be saved. And so when we accept Christ as our Savior, the Bible is very clear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this morning, I'm not just thankful for the compassion of the Savior. I'm thankful for the action of the Savior, that he went to the cross, that he shed his blood for my sin. I'm thankful that he is still saving sinners today. Look at verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Would you say it with me? For the Son of Man is come to seek. Oh, that we would come to understand how great his love is. Do you understand that God planted a church right here on the east side of Lancaster because he loves souls like yours and like mine? Do you understand there are missionaries preaching the gospel this morning all around the world because he's still seeking souls and loving souls and has a plan for souls? And do you understand that if God would look up and see Zacchaeus, then God could save anyone else behind bars today? The Son of Man is still seeking. He's still loving. He's still looking. He's still saving those who believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would save your soul today if you, like Zacchaeus, would look to him with faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a man that walked to the river Seine in Paris. His intention was to walk into the river and somehow get to the deep water and drown in the river. He wanted to end his life. Three times he put poison in a cup, thinking if he could drink that poison, he could end his life, but he couldn't find the courage to do it. Twice he took a pistol and with trembling hand thought of taking his life and then did not have the courage. Finally, one day, a friend opened a Bible with this man, began to share with him the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God. Began to tell him about Jesus Christ paying the price for sin on the cross. And as this man began to understand, he came to the point in his life when he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. His name was William Cooper, and a man from England, a man with talent to write, a man that was a published poet, but life had no meaning until he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And not long after he was saved and after he got grounded in the Word of God, he wrote this famous hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains." And this man who was about ready to take his life, this man who thought that there was no reason to keep on living anymore, when he understood how much God loved him, when he understood how God's grace applied to his heart, all he wanted to do was sing for the Lord and praise the Lord and write hymns to the Lord. And like Zacchaeus, his life was changed by the grace of Almighty God. He's still changing lives today. He's still saving lives today. Let me ask you this question. Is he your Savior and your Lord today?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest book entitled, Renew. 90 Days of Spiritual Refreshment. This beautiful, hardback 90-day devotional guide will encourage you to seek God's face and renew your heart in His Word. Each devotion includes a scripture passage and provides an encouraging truth regarding your walk with the Lord. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. You can order it by calling 1-800-201-7748 or by requesting a copy at dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.